Mrs. Lambert, reel 6. We're talking about your stay in and your work in Gloucester.
Gloucester. Some of the girls were billeted in with the cathedral. I don't know if they call it the vicarage, the manse. It wouldn't be the manse, that's Scottish. But anyway, their building. And it was a lovely place. When you went in, you had to go in the front door, and you went in a kind of spiral staircase. It sort of just went round. And the girls were billeted up there, and you had to go and see that everything was in order, everything was clean, etc. All the admin side of it. And I used to dread that, didn't like that a bit. But never mind, it had to be done. And so I wasn't there for long. In fact, I think I was at... Oh, I know what it was. I was there for actually 3 months, and I was sent on a course to Windermere, and this again was admin. It was a course that most people in the forces go on to occasionally, and I think it was just an admin course. And in the first week, we were introduced to what was going to happen, and I can't remember. We did go to a concert. The search was sent us on various other things besides forces stuff. I can remember with PT, we had to run up this hill in Windermere. I don't know where it was, and it must have been autumn, I think, because I can remember the... Yes, January. I can remember running up this hill, and the leaves and things were lovely brown and golden. It's lovely. So we ran up there and came down again. Anyway, I was only there a week, and a posting came through for me to go to overseas. So that's the fact it lasted at Windermere.
And the course itself, did you say you couldn't recall what the course was about?
I can't remember. I know we had a group photograph of us. No, I can't remember. I know at one time when we had nothing to do, we all used to tell each other what we were doing before we were commissioned. And so that was quite interesting. I was telling them about my balloons and things, but I really can't remember what it was. It was probably with a view to maybe promotion or things change in the forces. So sort of posting things like
How
that.
Did you feel about going abroad?
Lovely. Oh yes, I like that. Oh yes, can I go back to when I... can I put something in there? When I applied for my commission, I remember that I was waiting for the yes or no to come through, and one of the sergeants invited me over to his house to spend the night with his wife and his little daughter, which I thought was very nice. And I think I was there for about 2 or 3 nights. And then a dispatch rider came along and said, come on, you've got to go back to camp, you've got your commission. So that's how I found out, I just remembered that. But anyway, I went to, I got my posting overseas, and I had to go to Blackpool. But I didn't have to stop off at Crewe this time, because it was further south. But we went to Blackpool, and there were quite a lot of us there, waiting to go overseas. We had all the injections necessary, went into the church hall, all sitting there waiting for our yellow fever and our all the other things, you know, with the arms going up, sitting there. And in the church hall, there was a tiny little chapel. And over the top of the chapel it said, suffer the little children to come up to me, which I thought was quite bizarre. Anyway, we got all these injections, suffered badly.
Where were you billeted whilst you were in Blackpool?
In one of the landlady's houses.
Again, it was in various houses?
Yes. In fact, it had this... The house was called something bizarre like Come Again or Return, or something like that. It was one of those funny names, you know, remember that. And so then we had to go and get kitted out for overseas.
And what were you given?
I was just going to tell you, we had to go to Woolworths, and the top floor of Woolworths was taken over by the RAF for a clothing store. So we had to go there. We got all our khaki uniform, jacket, skirt, with AA on the name, trousers, shirts, all the necessary, and all the shoes, tights and things. It was just all khaki uniform instead of RAF. But we took our RAF uniform with us as well, because in Italy, overseas, it can be cold in the winter, but I don't remember going back into that. It was mostly khaki. In fact, it was always khaki.
Had they told you where you were going?
No. So,
this presumably was very light material for hot climbs.
Yes, it was, as you see, the men wear that kind of material. So we had all that, but included in all the stuff, all that clothing stuff, we also had a pith helmet, one of those white pith helmet things, you know, which I thought, oh my God, here we come, Livingstone, you know, which I kept for ages, and I'll tell you when I couldn't be bothered to carry it around anymore. We also had a bedroll, and that consisted of the roll itself. It had sheets, blankets, pillowcase, not a bed, because the beds were always there, but we always had to take our bedroll. Can I just have a look at here, because I got it all. We had all our khaki kit for overseas. And there was this bedroll, which consisted of sheets, blankets, pillowcase, canvas bed. I didn't have a canvas bed. A bath, canvas bucket, and a canvas basin. Propped up on fancy things, you know. Never used them. And we had to buy a tin trunk to contain all our goodies because of the ants, to keep the ants away. And when my trunk arrived, my destination, it got a great big dent in it, so it didn't keep the ants out anyway, so never mind.
I was going to ask you, how did you manage to carry all that? But
oh, well, we didn't, because we were officers, all done for us. It really was. It was marvellous. Like the life of Riley. So we had all this, all our gear, plus all our personal gear, and of course our own uniforms and all our clothing. Anything that we wanted of our own, all that went into this trunk. And so we had, I think, did I say I was there for 1 week or two? I think it was 1 week in Blackpool. Anyway, we did all this. And so it was pouring with rain most of the time. But I'll tell you one thing that happened. We wanted to go on the Big Dipper. So the fairground man, whoever he was, turned it all on for us. And here we were on the Big Dipper. It was great. I couldn't do it now, but we did then. Remember that.
This was February 1944.
Yes, must have been. January, February, that's right. Yes, Blackpool.
And you say you're quite excited about going abroad, of course.
Oh, yes, I was. Well, it was something different. Because I'd been abroad a lot when I was young. So, we got all that, and then the day came for us to go, and we all had to go on the train from Blackpool, and we went down to Liverpool. But we didn't get off at Temple Meads or anywhere like that. We went straight through to the docks. The whole train went straight through to the docks, and we went on the SS Carthage, which had been commandeered at the time. And I know we were all full of officers, but there were other ranks there as well. But you know what it's like on board ship, first class, second class. When I think of it now, it didn't occur to me at the time. It really didn't. I was me. I was doing my own thing. And they must have been there. But anyway, so we all went on board, had our cabins. Now, who was I with? Oh, yes, I know. There were... we went on board ship. And we went into this first-class cabin, which was on the deck. So in peacetime, the first-class cabin would be an L shape. So that in one leg of the L would be the sitting room, and the other L would be the bedroom. There were 16 of us in there, in bunks, 8 bunks, 16 of us, with one little basin. We could use the bathroom, which was good. But there was one little basin, and we were there. And it just seems like a dream going back on it now. The whole thing really does. I can't go into details, intimacies, anything like that. The whole thing was just a dream. It really was. Now, not then, it wasn't. It was just like looking back on it.
Do you recall the date that you sailed?
No. So if I was at Blackpool 11th of February, and I got there on the 18th, good gracious. It only took 6 days to get out in the Mediterranean. 7 days, a week. Can't believe that, but that's what it says here.
The other conditions on board the ship, you've mentioned the fact that you were in a first-class
overcrowded
cabin. Where did you eat?
In the restaurant, in the dining room. And there were so many of us on board, we had to drink, eat in shifts.
And was this officers only?
Yes. Yeah. The first class was officers only, and the other ranks must have been down below. Mm. But during the war, there were no other ranks WAF, overseas. There were only officers.
So there'd be a mixed ship of men and women again, yes, as you were going on.
I can't remember seeing, there must have been some there, because obviously the...
Did you have any duties to perform whilst you were on board?
No, just enjoyed ourselves. We used to play cards. In fact, I learned all sorts of card games. Not much else to do. I learned to play poker, cribbage, brag, 21, canasta, Newmarket. All the card games. They gave me a certificate in the end for being such a quick learner.
Did you have a rest area that you could, or leisure area that you could go into?
There must be. That's all on board ship. There would be room there, lounge and everything like that. We weren't allowed to play deck games for obvious reasons. Nobody was allowed outside with a cigarette. And the only really exciting bit was when a mine floated between the two ships and the aircraft taking off during the day. See that everything was safe, and of course the ships all around it.
The convoy.
A huge convoy. Yeah, yeah. And that really was quite something. It was such a safe feeling that you were being looked after, because the corvettes were rushing around on the outside making everything was all right. There were other troop ships and other whatever, you know, all the way probably taking goodies out. Far east, to the Middle East, because people had to have things to eat and to survive. In fact, when I get there, I'll tell you more about that. But yes, it was a good, safe feeling. And as I say, if we had been torpedoed, there'd been an awful loss of life, because the ship was crowded. There were even hammocks in the corridors. It really was. I mean, it was an overloaded ship of people.
So you wouldn't have any... Dance area, did
you? Oh, you had the. I mean, it was just like a civilian ship, and all the facilities were there. Even place for babies. But no, everything was there. Yes, we had dances, and as I say, on the last day, we had this fancy dress dance. And this curious thing, and I didn't know this happened until I went around, because it's the first time I'd been in the Mediterranean by that way on the ship. I'd been down by train before the war, but went around by ship, and they have this curious thing. I don't know if they still have it today. They probably do. A ship going through the Straits of Gibraltar. You have to guess the time they're going through, and there's always a prize. So of course we joined that, like a raffle. Fancy dress, meals, cards. That's about all.
The food, what was it like? Was it better than the usually got on?
No, it was just the same, because it was commandeered by the forces, you see, so it'd be forces food as well. And in fact, the merchant seamen were there, the waiters, merchant seamen.
You were waited on in the canteen, were you?
Yeah,
in the restaurant?
In the restaurant, yes, just as if it had been a cruise. That's all it was a cruise. I can't believe it only took a week to get out there. It's amazing, isn't it?
And presumably you didn't come into contact with the lower ranks down in the depths of the ship somewhere.
Didn't come in contact with them, but must have seen them. But when we left Liverpool, we didn't go straight out. We had to go up to Gourock, to the Clyde, to pick up a whole lot of other people. We picked all these other people up. And I remember there was one young officer on board ship. And he said, look, that's where I live, over there on that island. He said, my wife's just going to have a baby. And here he was on this ship. And I thought, oh, that's sad. But I didn't really think that at the time. I thought, oh, goodness me, how awful.
Did you have to do boat drills and this kind of thing?
Yes. did all the boat drills, yes, with the life jackets and things. In fact, I think we did it more than once. I'm sure we did, just in case, you know, that we got torpedoed or anything like that. But even when we were doing boat drills, it never occurred to me about being torpedoed. It was more like the Titanic. I thought, oh, here we are.
Any training to keep yourselves fit and PT, anything like that you have to do?
It was a leisure cruise, it really was. But I'll tell you something, on board ship was Irving Berlin's crew, they did the show called This Is the Army. It was a wonderful show, it really was. But all the cast were on board, and we used to watch them practicing the songs and their dancing and all this kind of thing. And then on the last night, before we got to Algiers, they gave us the whole show in the theatre, or in the lounge, or wherever it was.
Was that for the officers again?
Yes, but they went down to the other acts as well. They wouldn't leave them out, but he was on board, I think. Or was he? No, he wasn't. He wasn't on board. But the cast were. So that was very entertaining.
The journey out itself, do you recall the route that the ship or the convoy took?
Well, we went up to Gourock in the Clyde to pick up the rest of the people, and then we went round Ireland, Bay of Biscay, and down that way into the Mediterranean. We didn't stop off at Gibraltar, we went to Algiers, straight to Algiers.
And how were you like as a sailor? Did you have any problems?
No, I was all right, which really surprised me, because before the war, when I used to go across the channel, I used to hate it, I was so seasick. Well, I suppose being a big ship, you don't get that much motion. So I was all right. There was just one when I was waiting for a meal. There was just one point where I thought, oof! But no, it was all right. No, it was okay. In fact, enjoyed it. But arriving in Algiers, oh, that was quite something. It was magic. For me, it was magic, because I love travel. I love old things, ancient things, and all the rest of it. And you approach Algiers, the harbour. You go into the harbour. And Algiers is up there, and there were these magnificent staircases, steps going up each side like that, and with all the people, the dresses that they wore, the noise, the traffic, and the everything, it was like, oh, it was a new world. I'll never forget it. It was absolutely wonderful, and in my mind, being very fanciful and romantic, in my mind, it was like a painting by, not Canaletto, because he was too exact in his Venice pictures, but like an artist, as if an artist had painted a picture, because in my mind, I got the colours. I was fancifying, but that's just what it was like. And I'd never forget this a dock that we went to, and I was dying to get off the ship to get the steps. Honestly, it was lovely. I remember that.
The smells? The
smells and the noise. The men with their goods and their wares, even when almost before you got off the ship, they were trying to sell you something. And the women with their black jalabas. And they didn't have a yashmak. They had just their black jalaba across their face like that. And I'll never forget seeing this woman. She'd been shopping. She got a shopping bag, and she got a cake in her hand, which she was eating, and a plane went by. And so she got her black mask over there with a cake in her hand, and she was looking up to see the aeroplane, and she was trying to do this. She was trying to sort out three things at once with this black thing over her face. But yes, all that noise, and of course we were a spectacle, because here we were, white women in uniform, and sort of walking brazenly along without our faces covered and all this. I mean, the noise and the colour and the smell and the everything, it was Algiers. It was wonderful. But we stayed the first couple of nights in a hotel, which was very Casablanca. It was just a bed, and the screens over the windows had little fanciful patterns on, you know, and curtains and things. Very basic, but it was all right. See any cockroaches, thank goodness.
You mentioned that you were a bit of a spectacle being white woman. Do you recall how the native population received you?
With looks. They don't actually sort of stand there and stare at you, but when they walk by, they're sort of walking by looking at you like this, you know, as they walk by, but they weren't rude. as far as I can remember.
Didn't show animosity or aggressiveness towards you?
No, not at all. Just complete and absolute wonder. And of course the streets and everything were real Algiers. I'll never forget. It was a lovely place to be. It really was. I loved it there. But we stayed in the hotel and then we went out to a house which had been commandeered. And it was obviously somebody's private house because we had these lovely beds. But we still had our bedrolls. Wherever we went, we had our bedrolls. There was an Air Force lad downstairs, cook, who used to cook our meals. And there was two Arab women there who used to do the cleaning. And we had a telephone, and you could phone anywhere you liked for nothing. Didn't use it really. And so we were driven from our house to, as far as I can remember, it looked like a very English hotel where we used to work. It was still Cone Cypher. But I can just remember the sort of layout inside the hotel wasn't like the one that I stayed in. It wasn't Casablanca. It was an English hotel. It really did look like that. And this is where we work. And I can't remember much about that, working in there. It was just routine. Mm-hmm. But I do remember when we arrived in Algiers in a locust storm. All these locusts everywhere. And little boys used to catch them, tie a bit of string on their leg, and keep them in a matchbox, and just occasionally take them out and let them fly around like an aeroplane. I remember that. But these locusts, they were everywhere. Mm. You just couldn't get rid of them.
How many of you went to this particular
Six
spot?
Of us. Six.
And we were all Code and Cypher?
Yes, we were all in shifts. There was two of us on at a time, all Code and Cypher. But there was the admin side as well. Mm. There was a wife officer there with her clerks as well. There always had to be for the paperwork.
So you were getting, again, your code words coming through. Did you know, again, who you were communicating with or receiving communications from?
Not really, because it was like when you're in an office, if you can imagine, like a whole lot of girls in an office doing their typing. Somebody comes and gives you the papers, you do your work, you give your papers back, and that's as much as you know. You just don't know where it goes, where it came from, you just do it.
And again, you can't recall any particular event or...
No, I can later on, but I'll tell you about that later on.
And this was this was headquarters, was it?
Yes, it was Mediterranean Allied Air Force. Yes, Mediterranean Allied Air Force.
Did you see any of the high-ranking people?
Not then, I didn't. Not while we were in Algiers, no, because we were just a secluded little lot of people going to and from work. We used to go into town. Well, you had to. You couldn't sort of stay in the bungalow all the time. We used to go into town just to sort of see what was going on, see what we could buy, but just to mingle, to mix, because it was so exciting.
And was it safe? You felt safe in the town?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
It would be quite well filled with Allied soldiers, airmen, navy.
Well, yes, it would, because at the time it was a Mediterranean Allied Air Force. Because the Germans were still in Italy, they were still at Benghazi and Tripoli, so we couldn't go any further than that. We had to stay in Algiers, and this is Mediterranean Allied Air Force. I'm making a point there, and you'll see why later on. So all the headquarters were in Algiers at the time. All the armies, all the headquarters of everybody, all the whoever was fighting in the war was there. So we were doing this work, and also not far from our house was the French headquarters, and we never did see De Gaulle or whoever was in charge, any of them, because it was a bit too far away. But when you looked out of our back windows, there was a lane going past our house. You had to go around that side to get in the front, and it was lovely. We looked across at the orange orchard, which I'll tell you about in a minute. There was a lane going down the back of the house, and every day, twice a day, the guards for the French headquarters used to come down on their horses. And they weren't Algerian, they were French colonial zouaves, black men on horseback, with their turbans, black, their flowing capes, and it was just like Desert Song, it really was. And they never looked to right or left. We used to try and attract their attention, but they never did. They were too military, and they looked absolutely gorgeous from Desert Song. Expects them to go along singing songs from there, but of course, too fanciful, weren't they? Young girls alike. Twice a day they used to go by. But we used to go around the front to get in, And it was a house that was built up here. So you went down to the valley, and then across the other side of the valley was an orange orchard, an orangery, they called it. And remember, this is French country. And when these locusts were there, was doing their thing, of course they centred on the orange orchard because the leaves. So they had little boys there beating like dustbin lids or saucepans all day long, going around beating like this, fires there to get the locusts to get away from the orchard, and it worked. But the thing is, these all land in our garden, so every time you went out, the locusts would sort of come like this. Just, So I can remember once going to work in the 1500 weight truck, that's what we used to go in, and not the 1500 weight truck, one of the smaller ones, I can't remember what it was called, and something fell down my neck, and I thought, that's not a curler, is it? Because that's what it felt like when I put my hand there, it's a curler, so I pulled it out, and here it was a dead locust. I remember that. But they didn't last long, they flew off somewhere else, they obviously weren't getting what they wanted. So that was quite an experience.
So you were there only, what, a relatively short time again, were you?
Yes. April. That's a very short time, isn't it? Because I know, then when the Germans were chased up beyond Rome, then Mediterranean Allied Air Force flew over to Italy, and 17 miles north of Naples is a palace called Palace of Caserta, C-A-S-E-R-T-A. And this is where the headquarters were. Field Marshal Alexander and all the rest of them, I did see him sometimes. And it was a lovely palace, had four courtyards, and all the rooms, the necessary rooms, in the front part of the palace that were used obviously by where it was built for, which I'll tell you about.
Had you been promoted again by this point from assistant to full section?
No, we were all assistant section officers still. And then suddenly, one day, this air marshal came in, and I can't remember his name, something like Air Marshal Dunning, not Dowding, I can't remember his name. He came in and wanted all the WAF officers together, not just Cone Cypher, admin and everybody. I have some good news for you girls. It has now been accepted that you are section officers, but not assistant section officers.
Yay!
So we got a bit more money, but I can't remember.
I was going to ask you about your money.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And the overseas allowance, you would get an overseas allowance, presumably.
Well, that probably came into the wages, didn't it? Yeah. No, I cannot remember how much, but because the simple reason that we didn't actually get money in our hand being officers. We got our own books, and it was all done in the admin and entered in your book.
So how did you get, if you wanted money, how did you get to it? Was it drawn in banks or something?
Office.
Oh, you went to the wages office for it?
Yes, yeah. In the castle, or wherever you were, you went to the wages office and got your money, yes.